Is that my cue? Minasan, konnichiwa. Genki desu ka? Tsukareta desu ka? Watashi wa Microsoft no Robins desu. Kore kara eigo shabarimasu. Sumimasen. So, first things first is I had a bit of an issue with the track owner, because 2 weeks ago I turned in my slides, and the next day, well, let me go back a second and say, if several weeks ago I proposed a session, I said I'm going to do this session, and I said I'm going to make it all demo, and the track owner laughed, ha ha ha, sure, all demo, and so I said, no, seriously, all demo. And so then I turned in my slides 2 weeks ago, and the next day he comes and says, Drew, you need to turn in all of your slides. I said, no, I turned in all of my slides yesterday. And then yesterday he came to me and he's like, Drew, I need your slides. I said, no, I turned them in 2 weeks ago. And then even the interpreters came to me a few minutes ago and, Drew, where's your slides? And I said, I turned them in 2 weeks ago. And so I only have I have three slides for you. I have an agenda, which you could read quickly if you want. They said I at least have to do this so that if you download it ahead of time, you could see what I'm going to talk about. So hopefully you already downloaded this. And then I have this slide, which says demo. And then if you want, later on, you could download and get these URLs, which is the resources slide. Okay? So if you like presentations with a lot of slides, then I won't be offended if you want to leave and go to a different session with more slides, or you can stay here and we can watch demos. So it's up to you guys. Demos? Slides? Slides? Demos? Okay, let's do this. Take. All right, so first things first, just to make sure, we're going to delete C program files, Microsoft Office root, Office 16, PowerPoint exe. Ready? Oh, no. We can do this. We just need to drop down to admin. And we'll do it one more time. Should we just type it one more time? Program files, Microsoft Office, root, Office. Okay, here it goes. There's no turning back now. Done. Okay. Now, the rest is all demo, and it's all going to be at the command line, which means that I have to type a lot in this session. There's a couple of tricks. People ask me sometimes, how do you type on stage? Because it's actually kind of difficult. And so the first thing is get lots of sleep the night before. I got no sleep last night. I'm sorry. The next thing is make sure you're not nervous. And I'm very nervous right now. So I'm a little nervous. I'm always a little nervous. The third thing is don't drink any coffee in the morning because then your hands will shake. I had like 5 venti Starbucks coffees this morning, and so my hands are kind of shaking. And so we'll see how the typing goes, okay? So be patient with me, and we'll see how this goes. Okay, so we're going to basically learn how to manage Azure from the command prompt today. And along the way, we're also going to learn a little bit more about Azure. Okay, so hopefully you'll see some new concepts in Azure as well. And we're going to have a lot of fun because I think the command prompt should be fun. And so we're going to have fun as well. So we're not going to take it too seriously. So there's a couple options. How many of you are MacBook users, first of all, OS X. So 2 or 3. Linux primary? 2 or 2 Linux primary. And then the rest Windows primary? Okay, so there's a couple options on Windows, first of all, just to set this. Obviously, we have the command prompt on Windows, right? You just saw me delete PowerPoint with the command prompt. You can use this. Actually, the Azure command line interface that we're going to use is available on the command prompt, the MS DOS style command prompt. You can do that. And later in the session, we're also going to look at PowerShell. And so we'll talk a little bit about how you can use PowerShell, but we're going to spend most of the time using a new, it's somewhat new, it's about a year old, new feature in Windows called the Windows subsystem for Linux, which allows us to run a bash terminal. And to talk a little bit about this, and just to get you started with it, let me just open up. Actually, let me show you how you get to this first of all. So if you go into Windows Settings, and you go to Updates and Security, there's a tab called For Developers here. And if you're a developer in the room, hopefully you already have this turned on because you're doing development. But you have this developer mode in Windows. And when you enable this, it enables a whole bunch of things in Windows, like being able to sideload apps, etc. But it also then will enable, if you go to the features, adding features to Windows, it'll also allow you to check this box called the Windows Subsystem for Linux. In the next update for Windows, we're going to make this a lot easier, but these are the few steps you have to go through now to get to a bash command window on Windows. Now, the reason I want to use bash today is because I love bash, first of all. Second is everything I do here, if you use OS X, you can do it in your bash terminal. If you use Linux, of course, you can do it in your bash terminal. Because this is actually, this Windows subsystem for Linux is actually Ubuntu Linux running inside Windows. And just to kind of illustrate that to you, I lost the page here. So just to give you an idea of how this is running, if I run LSB release and just output all the information, you'll see it's actually Ubuntu running here in Linux. I hope you guys can see this. Let me just, I might play with the fonts a little bit today because I like to have large fonts on the screen for you, but at the same time, some of the apps that I'm going to run don't format totally correctly. But so here you can see it's Ubuntu 16 actually running here on Windows. And just to kind of give you an idea of the integration here, if I go to CD mount C, you can actually see my hard drive here. I can actually get into users and go to Drew and CD desktop. And here I could do, let's just say, hello world.txt. And we'll insert and say from Ubuntu, escape, right, quit. And now if I go to my desktop, you'll see a hello world. I can open that in Notepad and you see from Ubuntu, okay? So it's completely inside of Windows, running inside of Windows. Now you might ask then, well, how does permissions and everything work? Well, for everything that's in the kind of Ubuntu space, it uses regular kind of Linux permissions. Anything that goes back to Windows is using your user account permissions. Okay, so even if you do something like sudo and run a tool, you don't somehow get administrative privileges in Windows. It actually does transfer through your user permissions in Windows. So keep that in mind. But it actually is running right here inside the Windows space. And then if you were watching at Build a few weeks ago, we actually announced that in this, we're going to put in the store Ubuntu, and we're going to put in Debian and a couple other installations of Linux that you can also download and install and run in the same way. And so it gives you kind of some powerful things you can do. So, and just to, again, illustrate a little bit more about all the different things you can do, of course, you can run ls, you can ls long, you can do ls/proc and get information about your system, all these things that you might want to go do. If I go back to my C drive, I have a source directory, I have a samples directory, and I have a hello world directory. And in here, you can run hello world.c. And you can just see I have a really basic C program. I'm going to quit and run hello world.c, output hello world, run that, and then I can run it. And so you can actually compile inside Linux here as well. And just to give you an idea that this is actually compiling an ELF binary, I can do ELF, the header, and you can see here it's an ELF64 binary that I just compiled running in the Unix system. And so, again, this is completely Unix running inside of Windows here. So pretty cool stuff. And then, of course, you might want to get your own apps, and so you can do things like sudo apt-get install. Maybe I want the Fortune program because I like my Fortune. And it asks for my password. When you run Bash for the first time after you go through those steps, it's going to ask you what you want the kind of default username and password to be for this shell. And then when you kind of log in, it automatically logs you into the shell. But if you do a sudo, then you have to remember that password. You can always reset that from external to the shell as well if you ever forget that password. But now I've installed Fortune, and so I can see what my Fortune is. Whoever has lived long enough to find out life is no. This is too long. I can't even. He brought death into the world. That's very serious. But you will be recognized and honored as a community leader. That's great. That's my Fortune now. Awesome. But you know what? I think fortunes come better from cows. So what's the difference between dead dog in the road and dead lawyer in the road? There are skid marks in front of the dog. Sorry, English joke. Okay, and then it may be more colorful joke for you if I add LOL cat. So you can do all these fun things. All right, like I said, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. Good, so you can also do serious things. Of course, you can run Git and do all your Git things. Interestingly enough, you can actually run Windows applications from here. So maybe I want to get into the command prompt. I can do that. Whoa. I probably shouldn't have done dir. Whoops. Oh, there we go. I can exit out of. What did I do? Exit. Oh man, I really screwed it up. Wow. Whoa. Whew. I don't know what I did. You can always restart too. Cool. You can run explorer.exe if you want. So that actually takes me into Windows system. If I was in a directory that Windows can read, then it'll take me to that directory as well. So I can do that. And of course, if I'm back in source, hello world, I can even run Visual Studio Code from here. Okay, so you can launch Windows apps from the Bash terminal as well. So just giving you an idea of all the powerful things that you can do from the Bash terminal. Of course, there's Linux type things that you might want to do, like running htop. If I run htop, and then let's start another Bash terminal and put it over here. And over here we'll run vi. And over on htop, you'll see that it is just one instance of Linux, and so it can see the processes across as well. So you can see, if I expand this again, you can see the vi command here at the top is running. And then I can even go and kill that. And you can see over in the other terminal that it killed that process. So that's kind of nice. You get tools like that. You can run things like tmux. Tmux allows you to split windows. And so if I do control B, I now have two windows. Interestingly enough, I can also run PowerShell. And so now I have tmux with PowerShell on the bottom and a Bash terminal on top. And so you can, if there's some interesting scenarios, you can kind of switch back and forth between those. And one more before we get into Azure a little bit. Let me exit out of here. Exit out of here. And then we can run Midnight Commander as well. Now the fun thing about this is Midnight Commander does both keyboard input, but it also recognizes mouse input, and we map that as well. So if you want to go here and say, let me open up an FTP, you can do that, and you can exit out of here. So pretty cool stuff with the Bash terminal. Very powerful tool set for you now on Windows. It makes working with Windows even more fun. Okay? Good. So now let's get into Azure management as well. And we're going to do this Azure command line interface through a series of experiments of different things that you might want to deploy or do with Azure. First thing you have to do is actually get Azure CLI. And so if you search on the web for Azure CLI 2.0, One of the first results will be install the Azure CLI, and you'll see instructions for how to install it, Mac OS, Windows. You can install it in the command line, or you can install it, again, Bash on Ubuntu on Windows, and gives you the instructions for that, and so you can get started very easily. Now, once you have it installed, I already have it installed, and so I can run AZ, and you basically will be given all of the different things that you can interact with, and you can see it is a lot of things, a lot of objects in Azure that you can interact and manage and use. And so the way it kind of works is you type AZ, then the thing that you want to manage, and then a set of commands, or even a set of sub-things, kind of sub-elements. And so, for example, if I go to web app, and if you want to know anything, like kind of the next set of commands, you can always do dash H. And so I have AZ web app dash H. And you can see there's subgroups of config deployment log, or there's commands specifically on that. So it kind of builds down in a hierarchy, okay? And it's very, and you'll see as I go along that there's a lot of different helpful things that can help you understand what's the next thing that I have to type. And so at first you might feel overwhelmed, like how am I going to learn all of these commands and remember it across all of these different objects? Well, you'll see there's a lot of great things. First of all, they rewrote this Azure CLI in Python for this most recent version. And what that allowed is that with the Bash terminal, they're able to talk back and forth with the app, and which means is things like tab completion can work. And so if I go web A and hit tab, it'll complete that as a web app. If I hit tab, now I'll get the next list of things or set of things that I want. And so I can type list, and that will give me all of the web apps that I've deployed into my Azure account. Okay. To back up just a second, though, the first thing you're going to want to do before you start going through all these objects is you will want to do an AZ login. And this is going to log the Azure CLI into your account. So you do AZ login, and you'll see what it says is please go to this URL, device login. And it's going to ask you to put in this code. And when you type in that code, then it's going to want to log me into my account. And I'm going to log into this account. And so now I've been signed in. And I go back, and you can see now it's signed in. And again, now I can do all the different things that I want to do, like listing web apps. Okay. So, so I listed out my web apps. Now, the default is that it's going to return a JSON syntax or JSON syntax, depending on who you are and how you want to pronounce JSON or JSON. So it's going to return that syntax. You can change that, though. So the next thing you could do is if you want to change the output, again, tab, if I do dash out, it gives me a JSON, JSON-C. If I do JSON-C, it's the same thing, but just in color. I don't know why you want to look at JSON syntax in color. There might be some reason, but you can do that. Or you can do a table. Or you can do TSV. So you have all these different formats. If you want, then you can pipe this into, say, grep, and look for things like I have a build server in here somewhere. Actually, no, let me do, I think it's a VM that's my build server. So let's list my VMs. So you can see that come back. And then you can even pipe that into something like cut. And maybe I just want 7 and 8 column, which I think is resource group and name. And it is. Or no, it's location and name. It was 7 and 8. And so you can kind of pipe these things around and use all the Linux bash commands that you're familiar with, in input and output. So those are some basics there. Another thing that you can do, another way that you can filter, is if you do AZ VM list again here, there's an option called query, and this will take a JMES query, which you can search on the web and get formats for that, but The basic thing is this is like just a start.star. Star. It's just going to return exactly the same thing. But then I can add to that if I want to say I want name and resource group name. Then it just gives me those two. If I want it in table, again, I can do output table. Now you can see it gave me a table, but the column headers are non-specific. I think I spelled something wrong. Let me see. Must be resource group. Let me try that again. Now it gives me resource group. And then maybe I want to next give those column headers name or named columns. And so let's just call this one RG. That'll be mapped to resource group. Need to use curlies now for this one. Close the quote. If I type that right, now I should have two columns with name and RG. So just different ways that you can format the output. And then you can also filter again, just like I did with grep, but this time with JMS query. I can say contains, oops, I need a question mark, contains. I want to search in name. I want to search for build and get just back the build server, anything that has build in it. So pretty powerful. There's another tool that you can use called JMES path terminal, and it allows you to kind of play with a query. And so what you can do is AZVM, if you want to get this tool, first of all, sorry, pip, use the Python installer, and you do pip install JMES path terminal, and that will get you this tool. And then what you can do is say AZ VM list and output that to JP term. And what this does is it takes that JSON that gets returned, puts it into the left side of this terminal, and then what I can do is build up a expression just like I was doing before and say let's do name RG resource group, and you can see the output of that expression on the left side. And again, if I want to do the filter, contains, name, build, and close that, and then you can see it filter on the outside. And then when you hit Control C, it actually outputs that back into the terminal, and you can pipe that into another tool if you would like to. So so some pretty great just tools in general to use as you work with all the objects that are up in Azure. So that's great. So now we have a way that we can go and get all these different objects. We can list and we can kind of get status on all the things that are going on in my Azure account. By the way, really quickly, my favorite thing in this list, if you look through all this, there's all these things like cognitive services and disk and features and monitor. But I love the description for IoT. I love it. It says, from my command prompt, my bash terminal, I can connect, monitor, and control millions of IoT assets. Millions. I feel so powerful. Millions of IoT assets. So you can also manage millions of IoT assets from your bash terminal. So, all right. I think what we want to do next now then is we want to create some things. Okay? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to work with a resource group. How many people know what a resource group is in Azure? So good, okay. About half, and so that just really quickly, a resource group allows me to group resources, okay? So, so a resource is anything in Azure, and what I can do is I can take a grouping of that and then manage that group of resources all together. And I actually do this in demos a lot because what I can do is I can create like 10 VMs and 10 websites and connect them with a virtual network and create IP addresses and millions of IoT devices, whatever. And at the end of the demo, I can say resource group delete, right? And it deletes everything because I can manage it all together, okay? So what we want to do first is then work with groups. So again, I can, just like before, I can say AZ group for resource group. If I don't know the commands that are available, I can tab. And it gives them back to me. I want to do a list. I can see I have several out the table so I can see it. Oh, actually really quickly, if you want to change the default output, you can run configure And you can change this. And so if you wanted to say, do you wish to change the settings? Yes. I can say, I want the default to be table. And now if I run VM list, now the default will be table. Okay, so you can change that if you'd like. So AZ group list, again, I've got my resource groups. I want to create one. We're going to call it decode again because I'm going to delete this at the end. And so it says I did it wrong because I got to give it a location. So this is the other thing. Nice. You'll see I do this a lot. So I typed in AZ group create name decode. A lot of times what you'll do when you're working from this command line is just hit enter. And it's going to tell you what you missed, what you did wrong. And so you said, oh, okay, I need to add the location. So locations. Well, what locations do I have available? It always changes. That's all stored up in the cloud. But again, tab. And it's going to query out to Azure and say, what are all the locations available to my subscription? Okay. And so now I see them all, and I see, oh, Japan East, that sounds nice. I hit tab again, and it'll complete that, Japan East. And now it's going to go out and create this resource group called Decode. And you'll see I'm going to use that throughout the rest of the demo. Okay? So the first thing I want to deploy into my resource group is a web app. It's a very simple thing, right? So let's go back to C and into my source. I'm already in there. So here I am, clear. Let's make their web app, let's do this. Okay. And then let's just create a really simple application. Again, we're going to have a little bit of fun. So let's just pipe fortune into CalSay and save that off into a really simple HTML file. Okay. Index.html, explorer.exe, index.html. Let's make sure that looks right. It looks pretty good. Don't worry so loud, your roommate can't think. Huh, okay, good one. All American jokes. We needed like the Japanese version of Fortune with Japanese jokes in it, and then you guys laugh more. Okay, so what I wanna do then is I wanna create a web app now, okay? So, back here, we do AZ web app, create, and hit enter, see what it says. It says, oh, you need to at least have a resource group. And so we'll add that. And actually what we'll do is web app, create, resource group. Remember I called it decode? Now here's another thing. You can do these full kind of full length parameters, or you can also use the short ones. And so you'll just learn these over time. Dash G is also a resource group. And so I'll save keystrokes by using that today. And then it'll say, next thing you need is a name for this thing. And we're going to say, My Web Fortune. And the next thing you need is a plan. Oh, a plan. Well, that's a different thing. So what we need is a plan. And so the next thing that we're going to do is create a plan. So again, like, don't worry about knowing everything that you need. It's going to tell you. And so now I'm going to have to go back and just say, you know what, I need an app service plan. Okay. And again, AZ app service plan. Whoops. Plan. And so what we're going to do is create a new plan. And we're going to call this my free plan because I want it to be free. It's going to be in the resource group of decode. Again, remember that. And then we need a SKU. Again, the SKUs available to me are all different than the ones maybe available to you. I don't know which ones I have, and so I tab. Let me use the right parameter so I can find it. And so you can see down here it listed now, here's all of the plans, the SKUs that I can pick from for my plan that I'm about to create. And you see the big one in all caps that says free? That one sounds pretty good. So let's do that. Seems like a pretty good cost savings for me. So let's see. Created that. Okay, now I have a plan. So now I'm going to go back up and add that to the command I typed earlier, and it was called my free plan, right? Again, even this, I can go and tab and see what plans are available. if I do it correctly. Let's just do plan. What am I doing wrong? Come on. For some reason, it's not letting me tab this one. Hopefully, I created it correctly. My free plan, yeah, that's right. So now it's going to create that web app. That'll take just a second. So now, just like that, I have a web app running up in the cloud. Okay? And so what I want to do now is deploy our code to this web app. Okay? So let me just clear this out a little bit. Let's just confirm that that's there, AZ web app list. And you can see in here that I have my web fortune, okay, is up there and it's running. So what we want to do next is what we can do is say web app deployment, and we want to set a deployment user. So again, these are all things that normally you might go to the portal and click around and do, but you can do it all here from the command prompt. So set. And what we want to do is username, it's going to be Drewby, and password, I don't know if I can trust you guys. Can I trust you guys? Don't log into my website. Take that away right away. All right, so web app. So now I have a user set for deployment, and the next thing I want to do is there's a couple different deployment options for Azure. We have the ability to deploy through FTP. You can deploy through, you can check in to GitHub or push to GitHub, and Azure will monitor a GitHub repo and pull those files directly down. Works with TFS as well, Team Foundation Server. Or you can actually use a local Git repository and deploy that directly to a Git repository in a cloned repository in the web app, and that's what we're going to do. So, and again, we can configure it all here from the command line. So AZ web app deployment, okay, source, and then config local git, okay, and we're gonna give it the name of our app, which is My Web Fortune. Again, I can type part of it and hit tab, and it's going to query Azure for the rest. My group is decode. I'm going to hit tab. It's going to finish that. And if all works well, then it's going to now initialize a Git repository in my web app in the cloud. And we've got that now. It's going to give me the URL, which I'm going to need. So I'm just going to copy that. Okay. And now I'm going to init my local Git repository. I'm going to git commit add M initial, did it wrong. Let's just do it this way. Git commit. Okay, and now we're commit. We've got a commit, and then we're going to remote add Azure, give it the URL, and then we're going to push Azure master. And that's going to push out to the web. And if I open up my browser and we go to mywebfortune.azurewebsites.net, hopefully, it hasn't pushed yet. Oh, because I haven't given it a password. So now it's going to push out to the web. And if all goes well, we now have it deployed out onto an Azure website, so all from the command line, okay? So very, very simple, but get you started in the idea that you can do a lot of this stuff from the command line. Okay, so that's a simple website. What if we wanted to deploy or create a VM and use Docker in the cloud? That's another experiment that we can do. So for VMs, it's pretty similar process. So we're going to say VM. Again, let's list first. Wow. Okay. And what we're going to do is AZ VM create. my resource group, Decode. We're going to create a new VM. The image. Well, what image do we want? Again, I don't know what images are available, so I'm just going to tab. Let's do --- image. Sorry, for the tabbing, you have to use the full name parameter. Okay, and so now it gives me some of the most common images. There's a lot more images than this available in Azure, but it gives you the most commonly used ones. And the one that we want to use right now is Ubuntu. And so I'm going to just start again typing and then hit tab, and it's going to finish that. And now it's creating. Okay, so actually creating this VM image is going to take a little while. Of course, you can use the ampersand to make this a background task in the shell if you want. What I want to do is, while that's creating, I want to show you something a little bit fun. A little bit fun, okay? Just for a second. So I'm going to open up another bash terminal. And what I did on my Windows box is I installed something called VCXSRV, which is an X server for Linux, right? It actually runs on Windows, and then this is and then the Linux apps can connect to it and serve up UI to you. And so you can actually install this, and then in your bash terminal, you can apt-get install Ubuntu desktop, okay, which I already did earlier, as well as compiz, okay, and then I can export display equals localhost 0.0, okay, and then run compiz, and watch this. This is pretty cool. So now I have Ubuntu desktop running in Windows on my screen here, okay, and just to kind of show it, what happened, I'm going to run Firefox and do an about. And you see down here, it's actually running the Firefox on X11 Ubuntu, right? But just again, this kind of illustrate, let me go and open a terminal. And then in here, powershell.exe. I hit dir. Let's do that again. Oh, there it goes. Exit out of there. And even more freakish, because we actually do have PowerShell on Linux now. But what if I do command.exe? Same thing, right? Now I'm running the command.exe in, I just can't type right now. So anyway, so you get the idea that you can run X Windows here as well, which is kind of cool. So what else we got? Let's see how we're doing on our VM. Is still not created, but that's okay. I have other demos to show you. So if you don't necessarily have Bash installed, but you still want to use it, or maybe you're on a machine at a hotel and you don't have all the tool sets that you want, we have actually in the cloud now on the portal, the thing called the Cloud Shell. And so you can click here. And what this will do is actually start a Bash prompt in your browser with all the same Azure CLI commands that I just showed you. And you can store files up here too. When you first launch this, it's going to ask you to initialize a storage account or a storage service in your account so that it can store local files from your home directory into the cloud. So you can put source files, et cetera, up here. It has tools like GCC. It has, of course, Azure CLI. And so again, the same thing. I can do a AZ VM list. And you can actually see my VM is still provisioning, but it's up there. And you can clear, you can even do VI. Quit out of that. I don't know, it's not quitting. I don't know how to, I guess you can always just restart as well. So if you don't know how to quit. All right. So let's check this. Okay, so now my VM's created. So now I have a VM in the cloud created for me. And just check really quick. And so the next thing I want to do is just say VM. I want to open a port because I'm going to actually have a web app deployed to this VM. So I'm going to open a port called 80. Again, resource group decode. Name my VM. And so that's going to open up port 80 through the firewall. Now, this command actually right now, I checked and it does have an active bug in it, which is going to report an error to me that it can't find a 404 error of some sort. And it's just an error. It's just actually an error of an error because it doesn't, that command actually is successful, but for some reason it reports this error. I actually spent the other day like an hour trying to debug this and found out the command actually was successful. And they're going to fix it so it doesn't return this error. But so don't get stuck like I did. So the next thing I want to do is I want to install the Docker extension into this VM. To do that, we have we can do it from the command line. But the one thing I want to do is I just want to copy this so I don't have to type this part in front of you. Okay. So to do this, we're going to do azvm extension, and we want to set an extension. Again, the resource group is decode. The VM name, in this case, VM name is my VM, and the name of the extension is called Docker extension, and the publisher is Microsoft.Azure.Extensions, and the version is 1.1, and the settings are what I'd copy to the clipboard, okay? And so what this is going to do is say, go install into that VM in the cloud the Docker extension with the settings. And if you look closely at the settings, it's saying we want to actually launch a Docker container called NGINX, the web server NGINX. And that will take a couple seconds. And while that's going, I'll show you another cool thing, is we have, if I switch over to, is this on 2? We have this beta version right now of the Azure portal on Windows, iPhone. It's also on Windows Phone and Android. But in here as well, if you look at the very bottom right, there is a Cloud Shell. And so even when you're out to dinner, if your web apps go down or your servers go down, you can get in here, which your family is going to love, you being at dinner, browsing resources. AZ web app list enter. I have all my web apps, and so then I can do AZ web app restart dash G decode dash name my web fortune. And I can restart this service. And the nice thing is now I don't have to exit my dinner and go home and debug the app or restart the app. I can just do it right there from my phone. Okay? So you get the console on your phone as well. Pretty cool stuff? Yes? Alright, Bash is everywhere. Wait, I don't want this. That's PowerPoint. No. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this one's still running. So while that's running, let's kind of jump over to the next step, which is we have this resource group, and I'm kind of deploying VMs and web apps and these little objects, right? But it would be nice, like, if maybe Sakamoto-san here, maybe he has already deployed this amazing architecture into the cloud that has web apps and Redis caches, and it has MySQL databases and MongoDB databases and Cosmos DB databases and SQL databases. How many databases do you need, man? Many. SQL also? Okay, good. So we have all of this architecture done for us, right? Wouldn't it be great if he could give that to me and I could recreate that architecture? Well, we call that resource group templates, okay? And the great thing about these resource group templates is there's a lot of them, and they're up on GitHub, and they're all called Azure Quick Start Templates. And if you scroll through here, you can see there are so many of them. So many. HD Insight, Recovery Service Bus, all this stuff. VMs, I'm going to search for MongoDB, high availability. And if you look in here, it's basically a JSON file with all the definition of a high availability MongoDB architecture. And so what I can do is I can copy this and I can say AZ group create. I'm going to give it a new name called decode2 and a location of Japan East. And I have 4 minutes and I'm still going to show you PowerShell. And by the way, okay, so I got that, and then let's just launch this, and then we'll come back, because we're going to do a group deployment, and then we're going to create, and we're going to do a name, my deploy, and we're going to do a group of decode to a template URI of the URL that I just copied. And then the last thing that we need is, let me just switch over really quick to another terminal, mount source samples, mount C source samples. And in here I have a file, because the other thing that you need, and it's this is also up in the GitHub repo as an example, you need to have parameters. So even though Sakamoto-san has defined this great architecture, I have a few different things that I want to define, like my admin and my password and how I want the different resources to be deployed. So I'm going to copy those parameters and I'm going to add that to the end of this line. And just like that, now I've deployed, maybe, a high availability MongoDB resource set. And it says that I have unrecognized arguments of, because I forgot to put parameters. Okay, so now that's deploying. Now let's go back for just a second, because previously I deployed Docker into a VM, and I need VM list IP addresses. And I need it for group decode name my VM. And it's going to query that. Come on. Time is short. Come on, give me my IP address. I think the other sessions are letting out and everyone's checking their email now. The network's getting congested. Come on. Okay, so while that's going on, now we have three things going on. We're multitasking. So I just want to show you really quickly as well. PowerShell, Azure getting started. So you also have the ability to do a lot of this stuff from PowerShell. So if you prefer PowerShell, you can do that. Now the nice thing about PowerShell is, along with being able to control all the resources, a lot of the tools for packaging Azure apps are still in PowerShell. So Visual Studio still uses PowerShell being underneath the hood to package up things like Service Fabric applications and even web apps. And so it's a little bit easier to integrate into those type of scripts if you use PowerShell. And some people just are used to PowerShell and prefer it. And so you have a great set of tools here. And the real easy way to get it is just to say install module Azure RM, and you'll have the PowerShell scripts as well. And so, I don't know why that won't come back. If I go to PowerShell then, and you, again, install module Azure PM, you can get the PowerShell scripts. And then you can do things like get Azure RM VM. And again, you can do these queries again. Oh, it wants me to log in first. So you log in Azure RM account. Now they actually have a UI for this one. So off.com. Still not giving me these. Interesting. There's only so many keystrokes in one session that you can type correctly, and you can see I'm starting to type less correctly now. So I have 30 seconds to go, and I'm going to show you at least one PowerShell command. Got double factor authentication here. I have a feeling like the network's going to prevent us from moving on. It was all going so well. Come on. Let's try to go get it. Okay. Now I can get NVM. There it is. Cool. But I'm still not getting a response here. Let me try this one more time. I just want to show you that I, yes, okay. Woo, I'm going to actually finish this particular demo. And there we go. All right. So I deployed two things. I'm not going to get to the MongoDB high availability work set, but trust me that that's deploying right now. And in a few minutes, I'd have a high availability work set. Use those resource templates to really create out an infrastructure very quickly. So hopefully you saw how powerful the Bash tool on Windows is. Azure command line interface within Bash or in command. And then you also saw a little bit of PowerShell as well. Have fun managing millions and millions of resources from your desktop to the cloud. And if you have any questions, I will be at the speaker area later, which I'll go back here quickly. Please do fill out your eval. I will listen to your feedback. And then I'll be in the speaker room right after this session. So, hey, thanks very much for your time. ありがとうございます.